Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. It is season three. It's episode number 35. The Cubs injuries keep on coming. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. Follow on the socials, Fly the W670 on Twitter, Instagram. We're also on Facebook. You can also email Crowley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crowley, we're going to be recapping the Cubs trip out east to Boston. Their next trip is going to be to New York to take on the Mets. But let's rewind with everybody a little bit. Let's get into game number one. That was Friday evening, and Shota Imanaga was getting his first look at Fenway Park.
Yeah, I'm gonna recap the third game of the series after the game plays tonight. But as of right now, Dustin, it's been a weird series. It's a split so far. The first game we thought was going to be a great pitching duel between Shota Imanaga and Cutter Crawford, who were both in the top three in ERA in baseball. And in fact, Cutter Crawford's ERA was better than Shota's. But Shota kept his part of the deal. He went 6.1 innings. He gave up one run on five hits with one walk and seven Ks. Dustin, Imanaga retired the first 10 batters he faced before giving up a solo home run to Tyler O'Neill. So yep.
He looked really good, man. He just checks all the boxes right now, Crowley.
Well, how good has Shota been through five starts? His 0.98 is the lowest ERA by a Cubs pitcher through five career MLB starts since 1912, when the ERA became an official start. Imanaga is the first starter since David Ferris in 1945 to go 4-0 or better with an ERA below one in his first five career games. And since earned runs became official in 1913, the only player to have a 4-0 team record, 20-plus Ks, and a sub-1 ERA through their four career games are Shota and Boo Ferris in 1945. So, wow.
I don't know Boo. Maybe next time we have Bruce on, we'll ask him about Boo Ferris.
Yeah, I mean, that just tells you this is like a historical start for Shota. I don't think any Cub fans, we were excited. This is beyond anyone's wildest imagination.
Yeah, nobody could have saw this coming. Nobody could have expected it. And he's just such a good guy, loves baseball, loves the history of it. So I'm sure he was thrilled he was able to do what he did out at Fenway Park on Friday night.
Now, Dustin, not only was Shota dealing, but Keegan Thompson pitched 2.2 scoreless innings. He gave up two hits, one walk, and two Ks. Since being called up on April 12th, Keegan's appeared five times. He's thrown 9.2 innings and given up three hits, 12 Ks, three walks with a 0.00 ERA. Another one, Dustin, where if you would have told me before the season that Keegan Thompson was going to play a big role in the first month, I would have looked at you cockeyed.
Right. And he saved the bullpen, right? You know, you got 16, they're on the 16-game stretch, and here he is coming out of the pen and finishing things off on Friday night. So that was awfully big as well. And no, nobody would have expected this out of him so far, what he's done. I expected him to be up, but I didn't expect him to be up this soon.
And this pitching this well.
I mean, well, of course, right. That's without saying, right. course.
And so the Cubs only had to use two pitchers. So that got me excited.
Huge, now, huge.
Cutter Crawford had the second lowest ERA coming into the game. He had made five starts, Dustin, and never gave up more than one run in any of those starts. Well, the Cubs didn't seem to get that memo. In the second inning, Michael Busch hit a leadoff double. Dansby singled to put runners at the corner. And then Matt Mervis, who was 0-for-6 with three strikeouts since being called up to the big club, singled to make it 1-0. How good did that have to feel for Merv?
Yeah, he had to feel great. Happy for him. You know, the three strikeouts obviously had to be bugging him, and to be able to do that again at Fenway for these young guys has to be super special.
Yeah, some bad luck on the next batters. Miguel Amaya hit a rocket right to first baseman Bobby Dalbec, who doubled off Murphys. But with two outs, PCA hit a single, and the Cubs were up 2-0. And PCA wasn't done. In the fourth inning, with runners at the corners and one out, PCA hit a bunt. He nearly beat it out, but Dansby Swanson alertly broke towards home and scored to make it 3-0. Really heads-up base running by Dansby.
On great, great base running by Dansby. Absolutely. And love the call. Love the call from Craig Counsell there, right? I mean, they obviously put that on. That wasn't something the PCA just dialed up when he went up to bat. So something you have to give the tip of the cap to Craig Counsell on that as well.
And you know, it's the speed of PCA that makes it difficult too, because you got to make a play. You know, what are you going to hold it? Are you going to throw it to first? And so it worked out perfectly. In the fifth, Mike Tauchman and Ian Happ put runners at the corners. Michael Busch with the sac fly to make it 4-1. Cutter Crawford pitched a scoreless six, but his day was done. And so you're talking about six innings pitch. He gave up four runs, three earned on 10 hits with no walks and four Ks. Jolly Rodriguez came into the game in the seventh. He walked the first batter he faced. Mike Tauchman advanced to second on a wild pitch and then stole third. Christopher Morel singled to put the Cubs up 5-1. I think he's coming out of it, Dustin. And then Michael Busch singled on a ball that landed in front of the catcher to put runners at first and second. And then Counsell again dialed it up. He had Patrick Wisdom pinch it for Mervis, put a two-run double to put the Cubs up 7-1, and that would be the final. Dustin, the Cubs offense scored seven runs on 14 hits. Christopher Morel was 2-for-5. Busch, who struggled at the home series with Houston, was 4-for-4, and PCA was 2-for-3 with two RBIs.
Well, got to feel great for PCA, and it's good to see Christopher Morel coming around. And, you know, now everybody's having fun with Michael Busch. Last night, you know, did you like, next time you go to the Jewels, Carl, you're going to get yourself like a 12-pack of Busch just in honor of Michael Busch?
Maybe a 30-pack.
Maybe a 30-pack. Well, they sell, Busch does sell a 30-pack, so you can do that, yeah.
Yeah, Busch Latte. I might be down with that. Now, as fun as game one was, Dustin, game two was just miserable.
Yeah, the Patriots got involved. The Patriots. Yeah. It was the Patriots versus the Bears instead of the Red Sox versus the Cubs.
Ben Brown versus Josh Winkowski. And now, Dustin, I was nervous about game one. You know, I saw Cutter's record and everything he's done. I mean, again, he's second best ERA in baseball. And then I look at Josh Winkowski. I'm saying, okay, he's out of the bullpen. He's only starting because of injuries, right? And Ben Brown had been looking so good. And not only that, Ben Brown grew up a big fan of the Red Sox. So, I mean, I'm sure he was excited and ready to get going, but that's not what happened. Ben had his first outing since his debut in Texas. His worst outing since the debut in Texas. And the first, he gave up a leadoff double to Jared Duran off the wall. And one batter later, Tyler O'Neill, former Cardinal prospect, homered to left and put the Cubs up 2-0.
Well, I'm glad this Tyler O'Neill is out of the division, because this kid, basically, no matter where you pitch the ball, I mean, he golfed that one. I mean, you can blame Ben Brown all you want, but he golfed that one out.
Yep. In the second, Brown gave up two singles but got out of it. Then in the fourth, he gave up back-to-back singles to lead off the inning. Bobby Dalbec bunted the runners over, and Sadan Rafael hit a sac fly to give Boston a 3-0. That was it for Brown, as he went 3.2 innings. He gave up three runs on seven hits with four Ks. Luke Little came in and got the final out. But Brown was, you know, really hit hard the entire time he was in the game. They were putting dents in that green monster.
Right. It's seven hits. It wasn't awful. I mean, it also, I wonder if the Cubs had gotten out to a better start. They've been good at scoring early and often in games, right? And so working from a deficit the whole time. You know, it's only 3.2 innings. They bring in Luke Little. I mean, the offense, obviously, we already told you what the final score was in game number two. The offense did absolutely nothing. So no matter how good or bad he would have been, it wasn't going to make a difference.
Yeah, it was just awful. And then when Luke comes in, he gets the final out. And again, the only thing about Ben Brown that made you concerned was how hard they were hitting the ball. And so, you know, what you're trying to look for is some weak contact. When guys are hitting the ball 100, 101 miles per hour exit velocity, that was the concern going through the third time in the order.
Right. Listen, I'm not saying it wasn't time to get him out. I'm just saying, like, I wonder what the mentality would have been, the approach would have been, had the Cubs had a couple of runs on the board.
And they had opportunities that we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah.
But Luke Lale came back out in the fifth, and that's when the wheels fell completely apart. Tyler O'Neill, like you said, on fire, hits a double. Luke threw a wild pitch, gave up a single to make it 4-0. He then hits Connor Wong with a pitch, gave up a ground out to Masataka Yoshida that advanced the runners to second and third. Then he hits Rob Rensford with a pitch.
I mean, all over the place. I mean, what is up with the control?
Yeah, and the base is loaded now with one out. Bobby Dalbec singled on a ball. And Dustin, to me, this was the key play of the game. And we talked about this in the last podcast, right?
Yep, so I thought about it immediately when it happened.
Right. You're down 4-0. It's still early in the game. It's in the fifth inning. And you sit there and there's a ball that Rob Rensford hits, or that Bobby Dalbec hits a single, and Luke puts his glove down, and had he not touched it, it would have been right at Dansby. That would have been a double play. The inning would have been over with the Cubs trailing 4-0. Instead, the run scores. There's still only one out, and Luke's day is done.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know if you have to start coaching that. I don't know how you know when to field your position or when to not field your position, but you're exactly right. I mean, had that been different, it's a double play without a doubt.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right, and you're only down 4-0. Instead, Colton Brewer comes in. He's greeted by Sedane Rafaela, who doubled and cleared the bases, which were loaded. And just like that, the Cubs were down 8-0. Jared Duran had an RBI ground out off Colton Brewer to make it 9-0 before the inning ended. A 6-run inning for the Red Sox. Brewer then gave up a 2-run homer in the seventh that made it 11-0.
At that point, it should have been the mercy rule, right? Everybody go home. Here's a hot dog on the way out. Thanks for coming. Nothing else to see here. Move it along. We'll be back tomorrow night. And who is this Brewer guy? Who is Colton Brewer, Crowley?
Yeah, he was a non-roster invitee. He looked pretty good in the springtime. And then in Iowa, he did a good job. He was working as the closer. But again, with Brewer, with some of these guys, they're going to take their lumps, and that's just how it is.
I'm guessing we've seen the last of him.
Not with the injuries. I don't know. I mean, then you can call up, I guess, Daniel Palencia, but he's a guy who had trouble too.
Well, get Daniel Palencia. I'd much rather have Daniel Palencia up here than this Brewer guy. I mean, gosh, he looked awful.
He looked awful yesterday. And so it's one game.
I'm based on yesterday, Carly. That's what we're dealing with right now, right? Yesterday was Saturday. Today's Sunday. I'm dealing with Saturday. He was awful.
Well, you know what was even worse was Matt Merv. His counsel had two position players in the eighth inning, and this was when it got ugly. He got two batters out, but he gave up 6 runs on 7 hits. Then came in Patrick Wisdom to finish up. He gave up a run scoring single that was charged to Mervis, but was able to get out of the inning.
I mean, I hate when that stuff happens. I mean, just drives me nuts. Just awful. I couldn't even watch it. I mean, I turned it off. Couldn't take it anymore. I was like, oh.
The only thing I would tell you is Mervis and Wisdom can throw some heat. They're throwing in the mid to close to upper 80s, which kind of puts them in the Kyle Hendricks category.
Mm-hmm. Well, as bad as the pitching was, Carly, I mean, the offense was no better yesterday.
No, they were shut out for the first time this season. They only had 5 hits. They had 2 runners on in the first, stranded them. 2 runners on in the second when Gomes singled and PCA doubled. 2 runners on the fourth on a Mervis walk and a Gomes single. Didn't score on the that's what you're talking about in the beginning, is that maybe right. If Brown gets some of that run support, you know, you're talking about in 3 of the 4th inning, you had 2 runners on and didn't score.
Right. What's the mindset then? What's the approach then? Things could have been very, very different.
Now, the Cubs didn't have another base runner from the 5th through the 8th. And the 9th, Michael Busch shingled and Canario drew a walk. So again, you had 2 runners on, but it didn't matter. They left those stranded. The offense went 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. And then again, after the 5th, it really didn't matter. And then to make matters worse, Dustin, there was a scary collision between Christopher Morel and Alexander Canario on a ball that I don't know what Morel was doing that deep in the outfield. That was like a 100-yard dash.
Yeah, it just shows where he's at the position. You know, again, you can't blame the guy. You got to love the fact that the guy's always trying. He's always hustling. Again, it's him and Canario, another rookie type player. So there was definitely some communication issues.
Right. I'm guessing Canario didn't expect at all that Morel would be that deep out. I mean, he was literally in short left. I mean, it wasn't even close. And so we don't know. I mean, Morel says, hey, you know, I'm feeling okay. But
it looks like they came out of it okay. I mean, we'll see if he's out of the lineup today. Potentially, we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, that game's not until later tonight as we're recording this on Sunday morning. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but we thought Cody Bellinger was going to be okay the next day, and that turned out to be a disaster.
Yeah. Let's hope. Yeah, okay. I'm going to knock on wood there, probably. Let's hope that is not the same. I think bad juju on a Sunday morning.
I think either way, you don't play him today. I just let the kid rest.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. But don't let that send off buzzers and, oh my gosh, the season's over or anything like that.
Season's not over, thanks to the Cubs' depth, at least, that's being tested very much early this season. But I'm definitely going to be watching that closely.
And it was good they got some guys off their feet, right? No reason to have Ian Happ and Swanson out there, get them off their feet during the blowout. So, again, another smart managerial decision by the skipper, Craig Counsell.
Cub fans, we are not flying the W tonight. We are flying the L, unfortunately. Sunday night baseball, that was a crazy one. And, you know, after getting crushed 17-0 the day before, the Cubs had a big task in front of them if they wanted to win the rubber match. Tanner Houck has been the ace of the Red Sox, and Hayden Wesniewski was going to get the start. With one out in the first, Rafael Devers reached on an error by Nico Hoerner. So I don't know about you guys. I haven't been impressed with the defense so far this season. I think there's a lot that still needs to be cleaned up. Tyler O'Neill would walk, and then Wilbur Abreu would fly out. But with two outs, Connor Wong singled, and the Cubs were down 1-0. That same combination scored in the third. Devers singled to lead off the inning. O'Neill grounded out to advance Devers to second. And then once again with two outs, Connor Wong singled on a ball that it looked like Morel was going to have, and it hit the third base bag. So that just kind of tells you what kind of luck the Cubs had this whole series. But that put up Boston up 2-0. I thought Hayden did pretty good. He went four innings. He gave up two runs, only one of them earned on five hits, one walk, and three Ks. But if you look at both of those runs, one of them shouldn't score because of the error on Nico, and the other was a fluke play that Morel would have probably made if it didn't hit the third base bag. So Richard Lovelady, a.k.a. Dick Lovelady, he gets called up. He pitches a scoreless inning, looks good. Yency Almonte came into the game in the sixth and walked the first batter he faced. That's not going to be the last time I say this when we're talking about this game. Remember, sports fans, leadoff walks come around to score 25 to 30% of the time. He gets the next two batters out, but Cedania Rafaela, who had seven RBIs on Saturday, doubled to put runners at second and third, and then Jaron Duran hit a triple to put the Cubs down 4-0. That guy can fly. Now, the Cubs offense was shut out the day before for the first time this whole season, right? And in this game, they didn't have a hit until the fourth inning with one out. Mike Tauchman and Ian Happ both singled, but Christopher Morel struck out and Michael Bush lined out to end the threat. In the top of the fifth, Dansby Swanson crushed one that traveled 366 feet to right. But unfortunately, Willier Abreu made a spectacular catch that robbed Dansby of extra bases. That ball would have been a home run in 28 out of 30 ballparks. Unfortunately, Fenway was not one of them. The Cubs finally did get to Houck in the seventh inning with two outs. Michael Bush got hit by a pitch, so there you go. Dansby Swanson singled, and then Matt Mervis, who had been struggling, singled down the left field line, and the Cubs were on the board 4-1. Then in the eighth, PCA and Nico hit back-to-back singles, and Mike Tauchman, the Palatine Pounder, hit one out, and after being down the entire game, the Cubs had tied it up. Daniel Palencia pitched two strong innings. He gave up no runs with two strikeouts. And then came the ninth inning. And I thought it was the worst inning I've seen from Craig Counsell since he came to Chicago, right? I think Craig's a great manager. Anyone that follows the show knows how excited I am to have Craig in Chicago. But that was bad. I'd love to have been in there to ask some questions. Hopefully some of the beat writers did. I didn't get to hear any of the post game yet, but you know, with one out in the ninth in a tie game, Kenley Jansen's on the mound, you know, to close it out, their closer. Counsell, right? You know, Kenley Jansen's a righty. With one out, Counsell pinch hit for lefty Matt Mervis. Okay. So, all right. Who are you going to have pinch hit for Mervis? Nick Madrigal, a righty with no pop, who had been hitting 118 since April 6. Why would you do that? Here's what I'm going to tell you. I know Mervis hasn't looked great, but I can 100% say that Matt Mervis had a better chance of getting a home run there than Nick Madrigal. Okay? So that makes absolutely no sense. Why would you do that? Why would you pinch hit for Matt Mervis? You know, if it was a, you know, if it was a lefty pitcher, 100% understand it. It was a righty versus lefty matchup. And then Nick Madrigal is just not a guy maybe leading off. I have no idea, but no, you know. Then in the bottom of the ninth, Mark Leiter comes into the game. First thing he does, gives up a leadoff walk. Same as Yency Almonte, speedy Jaron Duran. Like that wouldn't come back to hurt him. So you got the speedy Jaron Duran on first. Rafael Devers singles, puts runners at the corners with no outs for the red hot Tyler O'Neill. Now I'm shouting at my TV, don't throw it to him. Don't throw it to him. Just get the next batter. Who cares? Right? But instead of walking him, Leiter pitches to him. He falls behind 2-0, but he gets back into it. 2-2 count. And then O'Neill hits one 183 feet. Dansby tried to make an over-the-shoulder catch, and it popped out of his glove. My question for Counsell, why the hell was Ian Happ playing so deep? Okay, go ahead and watch the replay. He's about 15 feet from the track. All right, if Tyler O'Neill hits one that deep, Duran's tagging up and scores easily. So I don't know if someone missed a sign. I don't know who is positioning the outfielders. But to me, that was just absolutely ridiculous. You cannot do it. Cannot do it. To me, it is. I'll have to look at the numbers. I'd love an explanation from somebody, but I don't get. Somebody has to explain to me why Ian Happ was playing so deep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.